Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags!
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust up, and everybody else in between. Sunday, bloody Sunday. We got a full house here this evening. We're far from done. Jason B. Tackerfin's going to step up, and then Ian Cameron will throw it down with us. We'll talk baseball in a couple of moments with Jason B. Tackerfin. We've been football heavy, but rightfully so. We'll get to, you know what? Man. Like I said, it's just there's so much going on. It's one of these weekends that it was across the board. It was an historic weekend of Major League Baseball. We haven't even really gotten into the Los Angeles Dodgers autopsy yet, which I guess we can sort of get into right now. It sucked. It is what it is. The Dodgers have to make some changes, right? It's been proven. As good as they are, and it's hard to call out a team that wins 105 to 111 games every year. But the fact of the matter is, this thing has turned into what the Atlanta Braves were. Remember the Atlanta Braves in the with the Braves and the Expos and in the National League East? They won the division 13 years in a row. Was it 13, 14? I think it was 13. Might have been 14. Whatever. They won the division a million years in a row. And they won one World Series. That's what it's turned into with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Is it Dave Roberts? No. Is it not Dave Roberts? You know what I mean? No. You know what I'm saying? It's one of these deals where it's everybody, right? People can point the finger at Dave Roberts. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, Dave Roberts wasn't the one that went 5-for-34 with runners in scoring position, right? Dave Roberts wasn't the one that hit 143 in the series. You know who hit 143 in this series? Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts bowls a better game than he had a batting average. Mookie Betts bowled a perfect game the other day, 300 on an off day. Well, he hit 143. I love Mookie, but he hit 143 in a series. Mookie Betts is the Dodgers' leadoff hitter. If your leadoff hitter is hitting 143, you're probably, you've got a problem. Will Smith. Love Will Smith. Unfortunately, we had Will Smith, the white guy, the catcher, and not the other Will Smith that smacked Chris Rock, because I'd rather have, the other Will Smith, because he can hit something, right? Will Smith was the cleanup hitter for the Dodgers. He hit 188. He hit 188. You see where I'm going here with this? All right, is that Dave Roberts' fault that Will Smith, swings at the first pitch every time and pops out all the time? Is it Dave Roberts' fault? What's he going to do, bench Mookie Betts? Move Mookie Betts in the lineup out of the leadoff spot? What's he going to do? Right? He's got to hope that Mookie Betts plays better. Right? Mookie Betts hit 143. Will Smith hit 188. Justin Turner hit 154. Trey Thompson hit 154. Corey Bellinger hit 154. It's not the manager, right? Like I said, when your leadoff hitter hits a buck 43, and you clean up in the bucket, you got problems. Anchor Management Class, this is Sports Rage. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. 97.1, The Freak, Dallas, Texas, in the house. Philadelphia gets it done this evening. But Dak Prescott's return is around the corner, and the Dallas Cowboys are 4-2 in a pretty mediocre NFC conference right now. Meanwhile, the Philadelphia sports fans, everything's coming up Philadelphia right now. Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies are rolling. Hell, even the Flyers are good. And the Flyers are supposed to suck. I know it's only been a couple of games, but hell, even the Flyers are winning. So we've got a series price set right now. San Diego opened up as minus 120 series favorites. And I tell you what, you notice a theme here, right? So things are really getting, shooken up. You see it in college football, but San Diego have never won a World Series before. Right, and they've been around a long time. They've got loyal fans. That's a crazy atmosphere. You got to give them credit. And props to the fans in San Diego as well. Listen, it's lame when you do your little, we're only selling tickets to people in the area, because it doesn't stop anything because they're secondary markets, right? So, but the thing is, tickets are only going to be available on a secondary market if the local fans sell them. Point blank, you know what I mean? Like, if season ticket holders have season tickets, they can do whatever the hell they want with their tickets. So if they sell the tickets, that's what happens, right? These tickets don't come from nowhere. They're coming from locals. When people always say, oh my God, the stadium got taken over and stuff. Yeah, because local people sold their season tickets to these people, right? That's what happened. There weren't a lot of Dodger fans. Like, Dodger fans take over every stadium they're in. It doesn't.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Don't have to be on the West Coast. There weren't a lot of Dodger fans. Like, they were few and far between. That place was rocking, and it's going to be rocking. It's going to be rocking in both stadiums. It's going to be rocking in both stadiums. San Diego haven't been in the World Series since 1998, let alone never winning. Phillies haven't won since 2008 and have been there since 2009. Jason B. Takafin steps up for it. We got a game 5 on Monday. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday, continued. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between, including a former minor league baseball executive of the year, a 3-time champion at that. Jason B. Takafin steps up and in to break it down with us. Jason, it was an absolutely epic weekend of baseball this weekend. The defending World Series champion Atlanta Braves have been eliminated. Major League Baseball's best team in a regular season, the Los Angeles Dodgers, have been eliminated. We've got a Game 5 Monday night in the Bronx, and Philadelphia and San Diego get the party started in the National League on Tuesday night. How you doing tonight, Jason?
And we have the 2020 World Series champion eliminated. Sorry to hit close to home. I know that was a tough Game 4 for you in San Diego, but the scene there was absolutely incredible. I was so happy for those fans and Philly fans that they got to enjoy that at home.
It's a good point that you raised. It's been a long time coming, and we can't argue that the enthusiasm, the passion, and I think it translated to the players as well. You saw the Dodgers dugout pretty lifeless, actually. And I think it's somewhat of a problem that it doesn't really rear its head in the regular season very much. But in the playoffs, you notice every other dugout is having fun. The San Diego players were encouraging the fans to get into it, even when they were trailing. The Dodgers, like, basically, they barely smile, let alone encourage fans and start to embrace the moment. So, of course, San Diego have never won a World Series before. They haven't been in the World Series since 1998. The Philadelphia Phillies, we know, haven't been in the playoffs in over 10 years. Wow. What a weekend it's been. But let's start off with San Diego and tip our cap to them. The investment paid off, right? When it was all said and done, they invested. They mortgaged their future to acquire Juan Soto. They brought in Josh Hader. Both players had an impact in this series. And although San Diego are too good, Jason, for me to call it one of the biggest upsets in baseball history, but the fact is San Diego closed as a plus 190 underdog in this series. It's the second biggest betting upset in a playoff series in the last 10 years. So, yes, it actually was a big deal, Jason.
Statistically, it was. It's hard to sort of look at those things in the playoffs once you kind of get rolling and momentum kicks in. I think San Diego had an incredible jolt from beating the Mets, how they beat Mets in a do-or-die game, how they lost Game 2, but they conserved Hader, they conserved Suarez, they had Musgrove going on full rest, and that sort of put them on to the next series against the Dodgers. They were, I think, they were 3-16, 4-15 against the Dodgers, so that even makes it even more incredible. But Gabe, I want to touch upon what you just
4
said.
4-15, the Dodgers won 15 of the 19 matchups in the regular season.
But it's, you make an important point. The Dodgers were lifeless. Look at how much fun and the excitement that the Padres have. And I want to credit Bob Melvin because he is quote-unquote old school. He's a three-time manager of the year. He's been around the block. You'd expect with an older manager, you may get a little bit more conservative or you may get someone who's a little bit more businesslike. But Dave Roberts was a young guy who's won a World Series. That was a very lifeless dugout. It reminds me a lot of the 2012-13 Yankees where it's like, the party's over. You're not having fun. Making the playoffs is just an afterthought. There is no excitement. Everyone has.
You know what it feels like, Jason? You know what it feels like? 25 players, 25 limos.
Yeah.
You know that saying? You know, when the game, like, you know what I mean? When they, like, how many of these Dodgers are hanging out? Like, you know what I mean? It just sort of seems like they're all great and stuff, but I just get the feeling that as soon as it's over, Mookie goes his way, Trey Turner goes his way, Freeman goes his way. They're all mega stars. And also, almost like a basketball team, who takes that shot? Who's the leader? Who's the one that steps up? Like, I don't see that leader in that clubhouse, but I'd rather focus on San Diego more because they're still playing. But there's a hell of a lot to unpack here, Jason.
You know, you also want to credit the Padres for going after Manny Machado in 2019, giving him $300 million guaranteed with an opt-out after last year, picking up Yu Darvish's $57 million contract, trading for Joe Musgrove, giving him a $100 million contract. It is very easy for the Padres to blame Big Brother and the Dodgers that they have so much money. They signed that big deal with Time Warner. They lead the league in attendance every year since 2012. It's very easy for them to pack up their bag and use their excuses, but they didn't. They went head on, made incredible trades, and they've made incredible trades. Grisham, Cronenworth, Blake Snell, you can literally up and down, and they drafted so well to be able to make those trades also. CJ Abrams, Patino to get Blake Snell, bringing in Bob Melvin, realizing they were one and done. With their manager last year, really wanted someone who's going to put them over the top. It's an incredible story. It's an incredible thing for fans to get behind, for teams that are not still in the playoffs, and for fans to even appreciate a front office, an ownership group, and players that just go all in.
And not to mention, you know, we haven't brought up the Fernando Tatis Jr. absence. So some people could wonder, well, only if he was there, yet you and I both know life's like Star Trek. You can't change, right? You can't change the timeline. And it seems to me every time I look up, Kim is making a big play for them. Right? I mean, this guy has stepped up big for them. So you can't say only if they had Tatis. I don't know. Kim's making plays.
Kim's making plays. C.J. Abrams is one of the best defensive shortstop prospects ever. He was a 6th overall pick out of high school a couple of years ago. Tatis was a shortstop based in his coolness. He wasn't so much based on his defense. I think with his shoulder issues, they were probably going to move him to right or left field eventually. That's even before the Soto transaction. That's before moving Myers to first base. I don't think he was going to stay at shortstop. It's too premium position. Again, they had so much depth there. It's incredible what Bob Melvin and Manny Machado, the leader of that team, has done. Everyone ripped on Manny Machado. Everyone kind of buried him. They talk about him being a bad leader, a cancer in the clubhouse. He's lazy. He's not a Johnny Hustle, which are his words, not anybody else's. But he showed up, and he's been the best player in the game for the last couple of years.
He carried this team on his back. Yeah, that was leadership.
Unbelievable. He had some big hits. His defense in game two to be able to get them to come back against the Dodgers was absolutely incredible. He is a vacuum at third base, and it's not even his natural position. He moved over from shortstop for J.J. Hardy for the benefit of the team when he was a very young player. And ho-hum, he just became a perennial gold glove and perennial top two or three best defensive third baseman in the game.
Jason B. Takafin joining us, former minor league baseball executive of the year, a three-time champion with the Toronto Blue Jay organization. So the Philadelphia Phillies took four of the seven matchups this year between the two teams, but the odds makers have opened up San Diego as minus 120 series favorites. Phillies, of course, are led by Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, and Ranger Suarez as far as their starting rotation is concerned. Meanwhile, San Diego got awesome pitching that just frustrated and confused the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, and Joe Musgrove. Something interesting you brought up about Machado should be noted. Harper was a free agent in that same class. So it's funny that they've come full circle and people sort of wrote Harper off. And I wanted to get to Harper because, oh, yeah, the dude's hitting 500, just by the way. So, yeah, we'll get to what Harper's doing. And I like this. It'll mark the Phillies in San Diego. Snell actually broke Harper's thumb this year.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this year. So there's a lot of little storylines, not to mention the Nola brothers as well. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
They're also very similar in the way that they were built. They have very aggressive management teams. Dave Dombrowski, who's never
been. You're right, Jason. And a lot of people are sort of, oh, this is small market or this or that. Yeah, settle down. The Phillies have been one of the most aggressive teams over the last couple of years. You're right.
Yeah, these aren't woe is me teams. I mean, I think they might even still be paying Ryan Howard. Like, these are teams that go out and spend. The Phillies had one of the longest sellout streaks in their heyday from about 2007 to 2012 or 13. And again, the Padres have one of the nicest ballparks. And you saw that fan base yesterday. You know, it might be small market, capital S, but there are some stars in this series. Machado, Harper, you mentioned. I like the Phillies starting pitching. I love Nola and Wheeler. It's one of that's the main reason why I actually picked them to win the first.
You're listening to your source of sport.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Standing strategies and information.
You got it.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. Pharrell,
what
coast
a series
to coast.
This is going
to
be. They're so similar, as you stated. They're built the same. They look the same. You got Machado versus so Harper, who actually both were part of the free agent class in 2019. There's so much to unpack here. More with Jason B. Packerman. The late night anchor man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mm-hmm.
Late Night continues. I am Gable Moresti, the Late Night Anger Management Professor. We're kicking it with the former Minor League Baseball Executive of the Year, Jason B. Takaffin, kicking with us with the Toronto Blue Jay organization. There's a lot of stuff to get to, so I want to get to the Dodgers a little bit, but out of respect, I figured we start with the winner. We start with the winner in San Diego, but I want to get your series prediction as far as San Diego and Philadelphia is concerned. And we were talking about Bryce Harper, and people haven't talked a lot about Bryce Harper, but you should. This guy is carrying the Phillies, 10 hits and 23 at-bats, 500 batting average in the series, 3 home runs, flash in the leather. It's going to be an epic showdown versus Manny Machado and company. What's your prediction for the series? How does this play out?
Off the top of my head, I really like the Phillies again because of Nola and Wheeler. And I think that if they can get Schwarber going, that just adds an extra little oomph to the Phillies. They outscored the Braves 17-4 in Philadelphia. With the exception of the bottom of the sixth in the second game, the Phillies destroyed the Braves. I thought the entire season I had the Braves over. I had them even winning the NL East. I was telling you every week, I think this is the second best team in baseball after the Astros. That's why I'm going to pick the Phillies, because they just beat the Cardinals, who are very good, and the Braves. I like Wheeler and Nola. I like Schwarber waking up. Bryce Harper is 10-23 with only 3 walks in his playoffs, which is absolutely insane, considering that his leadoff hitter isn't hitting at all. The fact that he's even doing that without that many guys on base, or at least without his leadoff hitter doing that much. I'm going to go with the Phillies. It pains me to say it because I love Machado. I love the Padres. I love that fan base. I love what Bob Melvin's been able to do. But I just think the Phillies are too hot. They have such good momentum. Moving Eflin to the bullpen also is a huge stopper, because he's a starter. He's used to pitching. He can go 2 or 3 innings. He can go 4 innings maybe. He does sort of whatever it takes to do after Alvarado, before Dominguez. I like that setup. Give me the Phillies.
For the record, Jason, updated World Series odds, the Houston Astros, man. +140 only.
Yeah.
Right now. Houston Astros are +140. San Diego are +320. Philadelphia are +340. The Yankees are 5-1, and the Guardians are 13-1. When you hear these numbers, what are your thoughts?
I think it's the Astros World Series to lose. I think that they would be lucky to face the Yankees, because they would only be seeing Cole games 3 and 7, whereas Cleveland has a little bit of a deeper, they have a lot deeper staff and rotation. It can kind of throw out arms at them to kind of stifle them and drag them into a small ball affair. Cleveland has a hard time hitting when they don't kind of get going. They need 3 or 4 hits in a row to make something happen. They're not going to beat you by the long ball, or at the very least, they're not going to sort of outpower you. I think they're kind of ceding the AL to Houston, and I think that if the Padres and Phillies, while they're great teams, they're not the juggernaut the Astros are. So when I hear those numbers, it's the Astros World Series.
The one thing Dusty hasn't done, win a World Series as a manager. And for me, it's funny as a Dodger fan that I can say, you know what, I'm pulling for Houston, but I have money on Houston because I thought it was going to be LA versus Houston, so I bet on both of them. But Dusty's a former Dodger. He was one of my favorite players as a kid growing up. He's been much maligned over the years. Come on, man. The guy was on deck when Hank Aaron hit the effing home run. Yeah. I don't think people give him enough. He invented the high five, or he was part of the first high five ever. Yeah. He was on deck. Like, he's on deck when Hank Aaron hit a home run. He's won World Series as a player with the Dodgers. I mean, the guy, he's won 1 million games as a manager. So, I don't have a problem with it, but it's going to be a great story no matter how it plays out. But just to put in context, they're -185 to win the American League right now. So I want to get to so much with you. So you're picking Philadelphia to knock San Diego off and make it to the World Series. Let's spend a couple of minutes on the Dodgers. Of course, the Fire Dave Roberts stuff has started. And, you know, people can talk about this and they can talk about that. I can't dispute that Anderson should have stayed in the game, number one. I didn't really understand that when he was just so dominant. He said I could have won another 5 innings after, but every pitcher is going to say that. But the fact of the matter is, Jason, maybe it is time for a change in the dugout, but it's not Dave Roberts' fault that Mookie Betts hit 143. It's not Dave Roberts' fault that Will Smith hit 188, that Justin Turner hit 154, that Trace Thompson hit 154, that Cody Bellinger hit 154. I could go on. This potent Dodgers lineup wasn't so potent after all.
But is it his fault that they didn't manufacture anything? Because he was watching the game with his eyes. And it's funny you talk about Anderson, because it reminded me of Rich Hill 2018 Game 4, where he is twirling a gem and he took him out. And he didn't watch the game with his eyes. He watched the game with his spreadsheets. And he could have gotten four or five more outs out of Anderson. He could have sort of pushed that, kicked the ball.
And then gone to Martin. I don't understand that either. So you were a GM. I'll put you in Friedman's shoes. You're the GM of the Dodgers. Are you making a managerial change?
No, because things are very good, and I probably don't want anyone else because business is great. And there's a lot of built-in excuses, ranging from Bauer and Bueller. And, you know, again, you can create stuff and you can say, well, we put together the best regular season team maybe ever and we lost a 2 out of 3 series.
Or
we
you lost just said something that series. I think too. They tweeted out, thank you, fans. And I'm thinking, okay, the fans are upset, but you guys just made 200, you know what I mean? Like you talked about, they made $377 million before they sell a ticket, etc. So they're making money no matter what. So you say you don't make the managerial change. Let me ask you though, it's easy in hindsight to say this, but dude, they have all those prospects. They could have gotten Castillo. They didn't.
Yeah.
They could have gotten Soto. They didn't. And we see, you can't be starting Chris Taylor and freaking Trace Thompson and expect to win a World Series, Jason.
They could have gotten their team down the road. Alex Wood, Carlos Rodon. They had a lot. There's a lot of players they could have gotten. The Dodgers are interesting because they're not cheap. They spend a lot of money. They just don't have the U word, urgency. They sort of build towards incredible regular seasons, right? And sometimes you have to sort of shove a little bit, like the Padres did, like the Mariners did. And you kind of have to say, you know what, we're going for it. And the Dodgers don't have to. They made the World Series in 17 and 18, and they won it in 20. But the last 2 years have been underachieving. And they had second and third with nobody out at the top of the eighth inning in game 6 of 2021.
Yep.
And Mookie Betts and Pujols badly struck out. Like
Bases loaded last night. Nobody out. They're up 2-0. Nobody out. They get one run. Will Smith swings at the first freaking pitch again.
Yeah.
Like, really? So first pitch, drills it. All right. Sacrifice fly. They get one run.
Yeah. And so with my GM hat, I'm going to say you don't fire Dave Roberts, but I turned off that game last night thinking he was gone. I'm saying, okay, this era is over. It is not working. They have higher aspirations than second round, third round, 2 home playoff games. They just do. They have to. There's too much talent on that team. But then you kind of look at the dugout and you're like, you know, Clayton Kershaw only pitched once and Urias is a real ace. But then who pitched 3 and 4? You had Gonsolin, Heaney, and Tyler Anderson. That doesn't scream $8.35 billion 25-year contract. That doesn't scream.
But that's on the GM, and we saw the same thing last year. It seems to be, I always said this, it seems like we get into the playoffs and our season is always on the line. All right, let's hope Gonsolin pitches well, and it's rinse and repeat. Now, listen, time is flying by here. I want to get your Yankee and Guardian prediction, but you and I talk so much about the Mariners. Listen, at least the fans got their money's worth. They got a couple of games in here, but first game in postseason history to be scoreless through 15-plus innings. Tied for the longest game by innings in postseason history. Fourth to go, 18 innings. Third longest game in postseason history, 6 hours and 22 minutes. As good as Houston are, I got to tell you, man, Seattle were right effing there in every game.
It was as close of a series as you'll get that was a sweep, right? They gave up the walk-off to Alvarez. They had their own problems in game 2, the Mariners, where they had second and third, Cal Raleigh grounded out to first base or second base. They didn't blow their games open. I wanted the Mariners to be a little bit more aggressive in the third game. They were kind of waiting around for the hit, and the problem is that Houston could wait with everybody. They were set to go into the 25th inning. They had Garcia. He was cooking, and it's hard to be able to play with a team that's that good. That's why you got to manufacture stuff. You have to make it happen. You have to make the other team make a play, even though you know they're capable of, but you have to push the envelope.
Jason B. Takifin with us just for a couple of more moments. So the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Yankees. Savali versus Taillon. New York Yankees -156 favorites. The total is 7.5. Monday night, 7:07, first pitch in the Bronx.
I took the Yankees for this series because I think that they can outpower the Guardians. I think they can literally just get a couple of half innings where they can put up crooked numbers just based on their power. I don't really like Tyone in this situation. I don't really like the way Boone's managed the bullpen. It didn't work for him in Game 3. I don't really know how the Yankees are going to get nine innings, unless it's a blowout. That said, I think the Yankees' bats come alive. I think it's a party at the Bronx. If you can, I would take the over, and I think the Yankees are going to do it.
Yeah, to quote Dennis Green, you let them off the hook.
Yeah,
right? Like, you know, if you're Cleveland, now you're going back to the Bronx where the magic happens, you know, and yeah. It seems like the Yankees just dodged enough bullets and escaped by going back home. They were on the ropes. Cleveland had to deliver the knockout punch today.
100%. They dragged the Yankees into a small ball managerial affair. It worked for two games. Again, they also should have been a little bit more aggressive. Two very bad challenges by the Guardians in Game 4. Not very good. It looked pretty clear. They also have the benefit of replay.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In the dugout, they still made those challenges not very good. Wasted some opportunities there and a bad base running by Jose Ramirez in the bottom of the third.
Jason B. Takapin. Always a pleasure, my man. Where can people find you and your podcast?
At Jason B. Takapin. Gabe, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio Network, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut. We're throwing it down, Dallas, Fort Worth, the freak in the house. Let's do this thing. We've got more football talk coming up. Just a quick thought, a couple of thoughts on the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I'll get you caught up to date with the point spreads for Week 7 and take a look at the featured games as far as college football is concerned. A lot of stuff still to get to. We got Ian Cameron joining us in level 3 as well. So, the Dave Roberts stuff, I've defended Dave Roberts, and I don't think it's Dave Roberts' fault that the Los Angeles Dodgers lost the series. But at the same point in time, right, it doesn't mean that maybe a change shouldn't happen. I don't think it will, so I think it's kind of pointless to talk about. I think that the front office, actually, if you look in hindsight, yet it's hard for me, unlike a lot of people in the media, I don't like being a hypocrite. And I remember at the time saying, well, the Dodgers don't really need to bend over backwards for Juan Soto. So I can't step up now and say they should have gotten Juan Soto. But at the same point in time, they should have done something, right? And I did bring up at the time, I would rather get Castillo than Soto. And you look at the Los Angeles Dodgers and how powerful their lineup is. It really isn't, right? I mean, you've got 3-4 dudes at the top. You got a bunch of old dudes. And you got a bunch of dudes that hit like 150. And it clearly wasn't enough. Like, you know, Soto in the outfield would have made a big difference. I personally think, and listen, you can... You can say, oh, the Dodgers already have enough. Well, San Diego already had enough, and they brought in Juan Soto, right? as Jason stated, if you want to get there, you want to get to the top, man, sometimes you've got to do whatever it takes and just go all in, as opposed, you know, to thinking you have enough. And it sort of appears like the Dodgers right now are sort of just, you know, doing the same thing over and expecting a different result. The lack of urgency is a problem. Like I said, I don't blame Dave Roberts. He shouldn't have taken Anderson out of the game. But they weren't going to win the series anyway. San Diego were the better team. San Diego stepped up with big hits. The Dodgers were 5-for-34 in the series with runners in scoring position. That's not the manager's fault. Like, you know, you're going to try to manufacture something. Well, whatever. Nobody, you know, they're a long ball team, the Dodgers. You live with the long ball, you die with the long ball. And, you know, we can go over the numbers again, but the fact of the matter is, Dave Roberts, what's he going to do with Mookie Betts? What do you want him to do with Mookie Betts? You want him to bench Mookie Betts? You want him to move him in a lineup? Mookie Betts hit 143. It's not the manager. Will Smith hit 188. Like, how many times did Will Smith come up with runners on base and he would just swing at the first pitch and fly out to center field or left field? Time and time and time and time again. Justin Turner, love his, you know, love what he gave to the organization and all this, but he can't be on the field anymore. You know what I'm saying? Thompson, you know, Thompson's a good defensive player. Thompson's a utility player. He's not an everyday player. He's a good defensive player, but he's not, you know what I mean? He's a dude that you bring in late in a baseball game for defensive purposes. He's not a guy that you want out there starting. And if you do, okay, whatever. He hit 154. So don't be surprised. Cody Bellinger. I've defended Cody Bellinger. You know, it got to the point where Roberts didn't want him in, you know, didn't trust him. I would have preferred to have him in there just because, whatever, if he strikes out 9 times, whatever, the 10th time he'll hit a home run. But, you know, Betts 143, Smith 188, Turner 154, Thompson 154, Bellinger 154. What the hell do you want Dave Roberts to do about that? Was it Dave Roberts that, you know, the Dodgers have like 22 prospects that, you know what I mean, in the top whatever. They got a million prospects. They didn't want to do any of the moves. They didn't do any of the deals. They just didn't do enough in the end. San Diego came up with timely hits. So there's my thoughts on the Dodgers. We'll have more as it goes on. Dodgers need to be all in on Ohtani, but obviously there's still, you know, Ohtani, there's still a lot of stuff that can happen with Ohtani still. But the Dodgers have money. They need to be aggressive. They need to get a little dirtier. That's the one thing if you notice about the Dodgers. They need some more, you know what I mean? They're just bland. It's a bland dugout, a bland clubhouse. Like, it's just bland. You've got a bunch of superstars and super, you know what I mean? So, and you've got a bunch of quiet superstars, right? Mookie Betts is a quiet dude. He's not a rah-rah dude. Trey Turner barely talks to anybody, right? He's not a rah-rah dude. Freeman just got there. He's not really that, you know what I mean? He can be. I guess he'll become that guy maybe. You know what I mean? Like, who's the leader of the Dodgers? You look at San Diego, you know it's Manny Machado, right? Like, who's the leader of the Dodgers? Sort of, you know, it's just sort of like, who's the guy? Sort of like a basketball team that has, like, a bunch of stars, but, like, all right, who's taking the last shot? Right? You know what I mean? All right, who's gonna step up and do this? But let's get into the National Football League and Week 7. Always looking ahead here. Always looking ahead. Now, actually, you know what? So we spoke a lot about the Super Contest, and we were up. We were playing for, you know, potentially to finish in the top, at least, you know, first place, second place, third place. They pay the top 4 standings in the mini contest. So it's every 3 weeks. We were 9-1 coming into the week. We went 3-2 today. Very frustrating. I'm not going to lie. It was deflating. Right? It was just like, oh. Son of a, you know, 3-2 is not bad. You know what I mean? It is what it is. It was a tough week this week. It really was. Been a tough couple of weeks. Like, a lot of people are struggling in these contests. Like, people, like, are hitting the wall. And, you know, we've gone 12-3. We did our best. We went 12-3 over the last 3 weeks. The thing is, everybody choked. Everybody choked. We were tied with 10 other teams for, like, first place coming into this thing. Everybody choked along with us. 7 of the 10 teams had Dallas tonight. So suddenly, you know what I mean? But we don't know about people behind us. Because there could be somebody that, you know what I mean, that, you know, somebody could have won 5-0 that wasn't in the picture now, that was, you only had 7 wins before. So it's kind of chaotic still. And it's probably going to be a lot of ties. And you got to split the money when it's tied. But listen, any money would be good money, right? Like, we already cashed in the first 3 weeks. So if I can hit again in the season, I mean, 3-6, it was frustrating. You know, like I said, you know, so we had Buffalo was a winner. The Bengals were a winner. The Giants were a winner. We lost with the Dolphins, and we lost with the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals just sucked. That was a frustrating one. Miami, whatever, they're both frustrating, but whatever. It is what it is. We kind of rolled the dice with Miami. I had a weird bad feeling about it after, but whatever. We're 22-8 on the season now, which is freaking good. You know what I mean? Like, it's not easy. Look, we're ahead of the pace that we were when we finished in eighth place. I'll tell you that. So we're, and ironically enough, we've passed the Shady Five. So yeah, we're 22-8. And in fact, I think we're in 10th place right now. I don't like looking at the standings because it, you know, I don't, whatever. It's like a golf. You're playing against yourself. You got to pick winners. So I don't really like looking at the standings, but because of the mini contest and everything, I just wanted to get a perspective and see what was going on with everything. Shout out to my boy, Old Man, in Boston for going and setting up the standings and shooting them over to me like that. I think we got a shot. They give to the top four teams, so whatever. A lot of people choke. We don't know about people behind us, but they're, you know what I mean? We kind of know. I personally think we could be in a third place tie by Tuesday morning. It sucks though, because it's $75,000 for first. 75 for first, 50 for second. Then there's a big drop off, man, to 10 for third and 5 for fourth. Being tied for second and getting a piece of the 50K would be nice. But I don't think it's going to happen. But it is whatever. It is what it is. You can't kill yourself over this stuff. But I didn't even realize this because there's so many of these mini contest things. And I don't really look at it too much. But because like I said, I just try to pick as many winners as we can. And just, you know, whatever happens, happens. But they have a contest as well. Who has the best record? You got to be in the top five, though. It's whoever has the best record through 9 weeks. So we're through 6 right now, and we're in 10th place. So if we can just sort of get up another couple of places, it pays a lot, too. That one's like $100,000, $75,000, $50,000, and there's a lot of money to win in season. And then you've got the grand prize at the end as well. So we're doing well. We're 22-8. It just really would have made a big difference, like maybe a $50,000 difference today if we would have won one more game. So, therefore, I hate the Miami Dolphins. All right. So, point spreads. So, listen, Denver Broncos and the Chargers. Monday Night Football is 4.5. It's 45.5. But let's take a look at Week 7. New Orleans Saints. Right now, these numbers sort of bounce around a bit, but the Saints are going in Arizona. We got a 1.5 on the board now. 1.5, the Saints. The Saints are getting 1.5 in Arizona. DeAndre Hopkins will be back for the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals are a terrible home team. They're normally good on the road, but they lost today. They were 10-1 their last straight up, their last 11 road games. But maybe Seattle, you know, Seattle are better than people give them credit for, including myself. So yeah, Arizona minus 1.5, total 44.5. The Atlanta Falcons in a first place tie with the Bucs. Say what? They're going on the road. They're getting 6, because I guess that's fitting because they're 6-0 against the spread. They're 6-0 against the spread, these guys. So the Falcons are getting 6 in Cincinnati. Cincinnati had a late dramatic comeback today, and they covered the number in a miraculous fashion because Jamar Chase and Burrow did it again. So the Bengals are 6-point favorites. The total is 45.5. Matthias, you have to be fired up and excited that your Falcons, you had faith, but you're overly optimistic. Like, a lot of people are overly negative about their team. You're overly optimistic, but your faith is paying off. Is that they're 3-3 straight up.
I see it, Gabe. I told you that offensive line has been dominant, and now Arthur Smith, you know, he's drinking cold ones with that offensive line because he knows that that offensive line is taking them to the promised land, which is victory right now. Gabe, Marcus Mariota had a great game, but you know what? Next week's going to be a little tough. AJ Terrell, I want to see how bad that calf injury is. It seems like he's going to be out a couple weeks. That looks like a little muscle strain on the calf. And with him being out, that secondary takes a massive hit with the Atlanta Falcons. We just, you know, the Falcons just lose a shutdown corner, which rearranges a whole entire secondary. You know, you can't just replace A.J. Terrell. And the game is in Cincinnati next week. Falcons came out a little banged up for the first time, I'd say, this season. So, you know, who's the next man up? It could be a big day for Cincinnati Bengals wide receivers next week, especially Joe Burrow. And coming off this big win in New Orleans, come from behind victory, they're going to be pumped up. The Falcons are in for a tough test next week.
So the Falcons are getting 6 points in Cincinnati. The Dallas Cowboys, 7-point favorites against the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions getting 7, total 47.5. The Tennessee Titans -2.5 against the Indianapolis Colts. Don't look now, but the Colts are actually 3-2-1. Big game here between these two teams. The total is 42.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Giants, 3-point road underdogs in Jacksonville. Really?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Talk Radio continues. This is Sports Ridge. I am Gabriel Brenzi. All right, we're giving you a line check here. Week 7, National Football League. So as we stated, Thursday Night Football, the Arizona Cardinals host the Saints. It's 44.5 is the total. Arizona -1.5. The Detroit Lions are getting 7 points against the Dallas Cowboys. Total 47.5. Detroit at Dallas. The Indianapolis Colts, 2.5-point road dogs in Tennessee. Over-under is 42. The New York Football Giants, don't just keep covering. The Falcons are 6-0 ATS, but the Giants are 5-1 ATS. The Giants are getting 3 against Jacksonville, which I don't understand. You got to remember, too, there's like half the state of Florida actually originally from New York. So it's going to be like a Giant home game there. Giants are getting 3 points, total 42.5. The Cleveland Browns getting 6.5 against Baltimore, over under 46.5. That's a game we should have slammed today. I said it earlier. Remember I said last week? I said, come on, man. It's Bill Belichick versus Kevin Stefanski in a pick'em. And I think Mac Jones is average, and I think Bailey Zappi's better. And I think a lot of other people are starting to see what I always say things like a month before. And then everybody else, hey, Bailey Zappi, he's pretty good. Maybe you can. It's like, yeah. Remember, yeah, who said that like a long time ago? The Atlanta Falcons getting 6.5 points right now in Cincinnati. Wasn't it just 6 like a couple of seconds ago? I was like, it's 6. They're getting 6. Yeah, it's 6.5 now. Total is 45.5. The Green Bay Packers are 5.5-point road favorites in Washington against the Washington Condoms. The over-under is 41.5. They won, so I'll give them the commander name. Show some respect. The Buccaneers get a free pass, even though they suck. Buccaneers are 10-point favorites at Carolina, over under 41. Houston Texans, 7-point dogs in Sin City against Vegas, 44.5, a lot of low totals. New York Jets, 3.5-point road dogs in Denver. Both New York teams not getting any respect. The Seahawks get a 7-spot against the Bolts. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.